Lord, please expose to us your real church and not a 21st century knockoff. Amen. And as usual, when I come into prayer, I'm always adjusting to being with the Lord. It's a different wavelength. And I said, I know you're here, beloved God. Please forgive me for being so lethargic. What can I do about that? Pour water on my habit? It's very hot here, guys. 86 today or something it was supposed to be. And I can't handle the heat at all. So I usually wear a wet towel around my neck and back just to keep me focused. And then it's like 70 degrees around me. But I remember that Cuthbert, St. Cuthbert, used to stand in the North Atlantic Ocean to stay awake to pray. And I thought, wow, I'm a long way off from that. So I asked him, you know, what can I do? Can I pour water on my habit? Or what is it going to take to get me not to be lethargic when I want to pray? And the Lord answered me and said, whatever it takes, my love, rise up to the occasion. I answered him, okay, I'm here now. And he said to me, that also works at night, by the way, pouring water over your habit. Thank you, Lord. I love you, and I hate that I'm so numb. Please help me change. I want to be on fire, not always on the edge of deep sleep. St. Cuthbert, he continued, had this problem as well. But through my grace and his resolve, he conquered it. And some of his most profound moments in prayer happened with a little otter swarming around his legs, keeping him from hypothermia. You don't have to go that far, but your own version would help. There's no easy answer, and it sometimes takes a drastic measure to keep you awake to pray. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing, and that's about all I can say right now. He replied, that prayer goes a long way if your heart is in it. However, you were right in saying that your medication can also have a bearing on it. But understand, I am the one who approved that. So just work with these limitations and know when you are free from them, your deepest feelings will rise to the surface. The good part is that I know your heart and just how much fire there is. In a way, you being unaware of that is a safeguard for humility, especially when you see how the hearts of others are stirred to repentance and mercy. Yeah, that's hard. Well, please, Lord, what is on your heart? He replied, my heart is run through with all sorts of knives, spears, nails, and instruments of torture. Now, just before he said that, I saw his heart, and I saw all these steel objects stuck in his heart. He continued, not only did they duplicate my body using DNA from the Shroud of Turin and use it ceremonially to torment me, but this happens all around the world in secret. Yes, what Ezekiel saw in the basement of the Vatican was indeed a replica of my body. And what Ezekiel saw was that he was being tortured by people who would walk by him and do something terrible to him as they walked by. And they all the people down there did. And they were Satanists. And they were trying to defile his holy body. But they couldn't, because his defilement doesn't stick to him. And I said, oh, how terrible. And he replied, beloved, the pain they caused my body is nothing compared to the pain my faithful servants caused me with unbelief and rejection of graces. I need every one of them, Claire, but as you have seen, they are reluctant because of their preoccupation with the world and all that pertains to living a secure and comfortable life. My chosen ones, when I allow sickness while you are in the world, living a secular life, it is many times an invitation to break free from the world and serve only me. I do not call everyone, only my favorites. I know the heart of man, and I also know what he will be on the day of judgment. For this reason, I am making an appeal to many men and women to leave the world and come to serve me. I want vocations for this order, speaking of heart dwellers here, because they will appeal to the common man who is so very often overlooked because clergy is focused on tithes and donations. Money does talk with a very loud voice. So the ones who will realize that they're wasting their lives on themselves and they desire to be closer to me and working for me are the ones I am targeting in this season. I want to train them and prepare them to reach the truly destitute of this world. Destitute is not just about money. It is also about a hunger for God, for holiness, for those who are perishing in the world, because there is no one to teach them. And just in case you've forgotten, what I want resurrected in my church is the first century simplicity of the apostles. Fundamentalism has stolen much from my church, and many are too asleep or too busy making money in the world to realize that this contemporary brand of Christianity does not resemble what I established in the first century. Productions like The Chosen do a far more accurate job of portraying the life of the early church. How long will you slumber, O intelligent ones? How long will you follow man and reject what I have given you in the early church? Do you not understand that Satan has infiltrated all the churches and under the guise of righteousness and accuracy has continued the tradition of man to erase what I gave you in the first century? Study yourselves to be approved of God, not man. Take your three-piece suits off, roll up your sleeves, and stop the incessant posturing to make yourself look kosher in the eyes of a worldly, contemporary society that you so long to fit into for the secure and beautiful life men suppose to be from me. It is not from me. It is from your need to fit in and be accepted. That's why you will not examine the early church. It will bring you into conflict with the doctrines the enemy has used to eradicate the special graces I left for you in the first century. So the ones who will realize they are wasting their lives on themselves and they desire to be closer to me and working for me are the ones I'm targeting in this season. I want to train them and prepare them to reach the truly destitute of this world. Destitution is not just about money. It is also about a hunger for God, for holiness, for those who are perishing in the world because there is no one to teach them. And just in case you've forgotten, what I want resurrected in my church is the first century simplicity of the apostles. Fundamentalism has stolen much from my church, and many are too asleep or busy making money in the world to stop, search, and realize that this contemporary brand of Christianity does not even resemble what I established in the first century. Productions like The Chosen do a far more accurate job in portraying the life of the early church. You know, and as an aside, look at how in The Chosen, scribes and the Pharisees were totally against Jesus. The establishment was totally against him. Nothing's changed, guys. It's still this way. And I'll explain that to you later on in the message. How long will you slumber, O intelligent ones? How long will you follow man and reject what I have given you in the early church? Do you not understand that Satan has infiltrated all the churches and under the guise of righteous protection and accuracy has continued the tradition of men and their interpretation of Scripture to destroy what I left you in the first century? I do not assign malice to those who carry on their denominational slant on the Scriptures, arguing their viewpoint as being superior. That is merely a function of ignorance on their part and a lack of study, going along with the crowd, perpetuating man's dogma. Study yourselves to be approved of God, not man. Take your three-piece suit off, roll up your sleeves, and stop the incessant posturing to make yourself look kosher in the eyes of the world, contemporary society that you long, so long, to fit into, for the secure and beautiful life men suppose to be from me. It is not from me. It is from your need to fit in and be accepted. That's why you will not examine the early church. It will bring you into conflict with the doctrines the enemy has used to destroy my graces. Do you truly belong to me, or do you belong to your denomination? Do you truly belong to me, or to your bank account? Do you truly belong to me, or your social connections? Many of you who feel so secure in your Christianity will be left behind because your heart is not mine. You live by a twisted prosperity version of the gospel. You are living a version of Christianity with no guts, no suffering, no lack or need, no disease, no poverty, no demonic infestation, and no persecution. Now stand beside the apostles and the chosen and see your nakedness for yourself. Examine your life and see if it has anything in common with mine. That should tell you something that you're doing is way off track. This is a wake-up call for the body of Christ. Time is closing in on you, and you are far from prepared to be my bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. What does it mean to have a spot? When was the last time you chose a more socially acceptable solution to keep from being criticized by the wealthy? Did someone come to you to get deliverance from demonic oppression, but you sent them to another church? Because we don't do that kind of thing here. That's for low-lifers and drug addicts. We don't have that problem here. What does it mean to have a wrinkle? Do you habitually, to go back about the spot, there's a spot of self-righteousness in the person who would have that kind of an attitude. It would show up as a spot. What does it mean to have a wrinkle? Do you habitually avoid the poor in your church, choosing to have lunch with your peers rather than inviting them to join you in paying for their meals? How many times have you dodged those who were beneath you because you looked bad if you were seen with them? A wrinkle is a long-standing habit of rejecting that which you should embrace for the love of God. So you want to build your social standing by hobnobbing with the wealthy and avoiding the poor and those with a questionable background. And what does it mean to have a blemish? If your heart is pure, your blood will be pure, your thoughts will be pure, what is on the inside of you will be pure. How many times do you find fault with what people are wearing, where they work, and what they do for a living? When you judge them, you are judging me as well, for I live inside of them. And whether you see it or not, that is a spiritual blemish on your own soul, just as surely as a leprosy eating away at your nose. I am presenting you with a mirror, my mirror, so you can determine where you stand with me, not man. I'm giving you more time, along with wake-up calls to those who believe themselves to be my brides. I want you ready when I come. but there is still much work to be done in your souls, and I am explaining much of it here, so that you will have no excuse on that day, if you're left behind. You will remember this message and other messages from my church, warning you to be ready, for I am coming for a holy bride, not a half-hearted sellout to the world bride. Take my hand now. Examine your life and your doctrine, because there is so much error in Christian learning establishments, and no one wants to rock the boat. That's all right. They can stay in their boats, but the truth seekers will capsize those boats, and I will surely have them in heaven with me on that day. Wow, Lord, that's kind of a hard message. And it's interesting because I just got a rhema last night that said, Son of man, I am sending you to the church, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have rebelled against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that I have sent you among them. That's from Ezekiel 2. And the things that are shared with you are nothing new. This has been going on. I mean, this is just life in society. There's always posturing preferences and a need for security. But guys, do you want to be left behind? I mean, really, take a minute and think about it. Because the ones who are following false doctrine and are not living the life that the Lord lived as an example to us, they may very well be left behind. Do you want to be in that crowd? I certainly don't. I want to get rid of every spot, wrinkle, and blemish out of my life. And you know what, guys? I have a lot. I try not to go there, but it still happens. Sometimes I have judgment and attitudes, which is so wrong. But with this message, I'm definitely going to work harder to keep myself clean for that day. Because I do not want to be here after the rapture. And I'm praying for all of you that these words will really go deep into your heart. You will examine your lives and make them conform as closely as possible to the lives that the apostles lived, so that there will be no excuse on that day and you will be taken. So please take all this to heart. And consider what the Lord has said about the early church. She is so different than what we have today. And she has been stripped of many important graces. So do take a look into your own heart and be sure you're on the right standing with the Lord. The Lord bless you now. And may His sweet, loving peace be with you as you confront these things in your lives. Amen.